back to Tribe of Unicorns. I'm your host, Kendra Beavis, and today I'm sitting with Dr. Stephanie Snyder. She is a spiritual teacher, and she is currently in Virginia Beach. How are you?
Hello, Kendra. So great to be here. I am excited. It is a beautiful day. Well, it's not warm. Not yet. But I just finished a run, and so I'm feeling really good.
Good. Well, you are the host of the Opulent Life podcast, and would you say you're a life coach, or what kind of coach are you?
So I definitely talk about life a lot, but I definitely work in the business as well. So you can call me a life and business coach, because as a mom, they're so intertwined that it's hard to do one without the other.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got to this path in your life?
Absolutely. So my personal development journey is probably longer than most. I feel like personal development hit when I was like 4 years into it. So to give you kind of the short backstory, we lived in Sicily, Italy for 3 years. I had my husband full time. We came back stateside in 2012 with just two kids. And my husband was immediately thrown into deployment cycles. And if you're not familiar with military life, that means that he was gone a lot. The first calendar year that we were here back stateside, he was gone 270 days out of that year.
Wow.
So I went from having a husband home all the time to essentially single mom in a new area. And I just became a control freak, so to say. I couldn't control the situations outside of my home, so I tried to control everything within my home. Right. And I became obsessed with having a clean house. Part of my programming growing up was, if you want to be a good wife, you have to have a clean home. And so I was obsessed with having a clean home, and it started to wither away at me. And I didn't realize that it was actually taking an impact on my kids. I thought I was doing a really great job faking it. Mm-hmm. Until one night, I had reprimanded my son for probably just being a boy. But he climbed into bed and said, "Nobody cares about me. I should just disappear." Ugh. And he was about six at the time. And it broke my heart, because that's exactly how I felt. And I didn't know that he was picking up on that energy. Wow. And when I realized that he was getting the negative energy I was feeling about myself towards him, I said, that's it. I've got to change. I've got to do something, because I can't let my kids grow up in a home like this. And so I started really small, because I was already feeling totally overwhelmed by motherhood and life. And I was working on my PhD at the time. And so I started super small, and I started with a gratitude journal, because at that time I was focused on everything I didn't have, that I was in a total lack state. And so I had to shift it to all of the things that I was grateful for. And so that gratitude journal was the start of my journey. And it is incredible how quickly that practice can shift your mindset. And I still refer back to it when I find myself in kind of an overwhelmed state. I'll start to be grateful for something. And so then fast forward a little bit more, I finished my PhD just after 5 years of the entire program, just weeks before baby number four was born.
Wow.
And I finished that program, and everybody said to me, "Well, what are you going to do now that you're done with your PhD?" And I wanted to flip them all off and say, "Hey, let me take a break. Let me breathe
me a
little
minute.
Bit here. Yeah, I am having a baby in a couple of weeks. Like, let me just enjoy this moment." But God knew that I needed something else to work on, something else to do at that point. And so I was gifted the vision of my first brand, which was the Overjoyed Moms. I resisted it hardcore for a solid like 2 or 3 months, mm-hmm. and finally started to let that come through. And I was a mom coach initially. I helped moms get their shit in order, so to say. And then amidst all of the COVID nonsense last year, in June, I launched the Opulent brand, the Opulent Life brand, and that is where I hang out now. I work with a lot of moms still, but we bring in more of the spiritual side of life.
Okay. So how did you know that you were faking it? Because I think we can probably.
Great question.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to lie to ourselves to the point where you really believe it. So what was that? I mean, obviously your son crawling into bed and being your mirror was the breaking point, but where did you, because it seems like you kind of knew.
Yeah. So the faking it came from, I noticed along that same time that I was avoiding eye contact with myself. I wouldn't look myself in the mirror. I avoided mirrors. I hated being in pictures. And so I wasn't seeing myself. I wasn't admitting to the fact that there was something going on. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I was avoiding mirrors meant that there was something I was trying to avoid in myself. Right. I was just doing busy work to try to avoid myself. I became obsessed with laundry. I thought for sure I was going to be the first mom in the entire world who conquered laundry. It doesn't work. No. You can't. It's a battle. It's a constant thing. Yes. And so it was really the avoidance of myself. I was busying myself so that I wouldn't have to sit down and look in the mirror, basically.
It seems like you're a pretty driven person. The fact that you've accomplished everything that you've accomplished up to this point, where does that drive come from? Is that something you've always had, or is that something you've cultivated over the years?
So part of it was being the youngest of four. Mm-hmm. And so I, as the little girl, had to keep up with older siblings.
Right.
And so I do have more degrees than my older siblings. I still run a lot. I was constantly chasing my older siblings in sports, mm-hmm. in soccer, and whatever it was. They were bigger than me. And so to keep up, I had to be better. And so that was part of just being the youngest child,
right?
Just the need to keep up with everybody.
So let's go back a little bit. So you're a new mom. Your husband at that point, he was in the Navy or?
Yeah, he still is. Yeah, okay. Still is. Mm-hmm.
Where did the going to get your degree come from? Where was that motivation?
So I did undergrad. I did my bachelor's in political science and English, and then I wanted to go to law school. I had always visioned myself as a corporate lawyer. Turns out I suck at standardized tests. Just plain simple. I have standardized test ADD. So I can do really well for the first 90 minutes. And after that, I just want to make a picture with all the little bubbles.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. That's just how my brain operates. Yeah. And so law school didn't become an option. But one of the law schools that I applied to, they said, hey, we'd actually love you in our government program. And so I said, cool, I'll do a master's in government. I love politics. That would be super fun. So I moved to Virginia to do my graduate work. I did my master's in government and I finished the degree and my mother said, oh, great. What are you going to do with it now? And I thought, well, that's a great question, Mom. And it was in that time that I had met my husband and gotten married and had baby number one in the mix of that 2 years of that graduate degree. And when I finished that graduate degree, we moved to Mississippi. And fortunately, I got my foot in the door for teaching college courses. At a smaller tech school in Mississippi, I started teaching college classes. So that was fun. And then we went to Mississippi and I thought, okay, cool. I can still do this online, but I need something more. I need another degree to really do something with this teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a master's in education. And then when I finished that, I said, well, I really need the PhD to have the terminal degree to get a full-time faculty position. You have to have a terminal degree. So I rolled into the PhD program. It was a journey. Yeah. it was a journey to become a doctor. It is not for everybody. And there were moments that I wanted to quit, and I would not throw my laptop across the room, but want to throw my laptop right. across the room. Yes, exactly. But I plugged along and I made it fit into the busy life that we had. Baby number three was born right after I finished my coursework. And so I was a mom of three writing a dissertation. I had to make it work. My dissertation chair said to me very bluntly, listen, I will not give you an extension. You have 4 years to write this paper. And if you don't, sorry, that's on you, because life happens.
Right.
And I thought, okay, well, we're going to figure out how to get this to happen then.
It seems like it's a common theme that you get challenged with something and you just take that head on. How do you advise people to take on that mindset if they haven't done that yet or don't know quite how to do that?
So I love that you pointed that out. And so for me, I believe that I will never be given something that I can't overcome, that I can't achieve. I'll never be given a vision or an idea or anything that isn't in my capabilities. Is it in my capabilities at that present moment? Probably not. But I know that if I rely on resources, if I reach out to people, if I just become curious, I can achieve that thing. And so I remove the pressure, because the second I put pressure on myself, I cave and I'm like, shoot, I quit. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But if I can be curious about it and kind of run my own little research study, I'm a nerd, full nerd. So I'll do little studies on myself, right? Like when I was trying to lose baby weight for number three, there was this new program that was out and I was super skeptical, but I thought, hey, I'll give it a try. It's only 21 days. What's the worst that's going to happen, right? And in those 21 days, I learned a lot about the food I was actually eating.
Right.
And how to transition it. And so it's not that I see it as a challenge necessarily, because some people are totally turned off by any kind of a challenge. I go into it with curiosity. How can I change this? How can I benefit from this? What's the purpose of this behind it? And I really just kind of enjoy the growth process because, well, I mean, I'm an old soul. if you know anything about souls, mine is very old. I've been around the block a few times.
Right.
But I just come at it from a curiosity perspective. You know, I watch my kids who go through challenges all the time. They're military kids. And so their dad has gone a lot, and that's a challenge for them, but they rise to the occasion. I mean, shoot, if you look at a toddler, right?
Right.
They never stop.
No,
they never stop.
How to walk come hell or high water.
Exactly. And they just don't quit. And so I allow my kids to teach me kind of that don't quit attitude, because what else do I have to do?
Right. So it seems like teaching has been also a common theme in your life. Now you're teaching, you know, moms, or in a more of a business sense. Where do you see yourself going from here?
I'm definitely staying in the teaching field. I will always be a teacher, just because I can really relate to kind of that journey. I can break it down, because my whole philosophy has always been, if I can't make it simple, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And so how can I break this down and make it work and still be a present mom? And so that was, how do I break down writing a dissertation?
Right.
Well, part of this was my self-efficacy. I've written 100 papers before. Had I ever written a dissertation? No, but it's just another paper. And so I knew I could write a paper. So how could I break up this paper into chunks of things that I could do, right? We're moms. We're incredibly capable.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't give ourselves enough credit, but the truth is we can do anything all the time.
Yeah.
And you've just got to give yourself permission to say, oh, shoot, yeah, I just corralled a whole bunch of three-year-olds. I can totally corral this, right? Yeah. And just kind of turn it into a, you know, and invest, again, the curiosity is just, that's really what keeps the fear at bay and can keep you going. And so I can break down very complicated things into a simple, single conversation.
Accomplishable.
Yes, very accomplishable, because I like to accomplish things. I like to say I checked it off the box and move on to the next. So how can I make this something that's achievable for me?
You talk about the honest time assessment. Can you dive a little deeper into that?
Absolutely. So the honest time assessment, a lot of people don't like to do this. My husband is one of them.
I don't want to do this. Okay. I saw it and I was like, nope. I don't want to get honest with myself there.
So the key to this assessment is to, it really helps you to bridge the gap from where you currently are to where you want to be, right? And time is one of those things that we just really take for granted, unless we're, you know, like end of life kind of conversation, right? People are like, oh, I wish I had spent more time on this or time on that. I don't want to get there and have that end of lifetime conversation.
Right.
And so I get incredibly honest with how much time something is taking me. And so I remember when I first started this, and this is something that my brother compliments me for regularly. He's like, I don't know how you do all the crap that you do. It is really incredible. But what I do is if I'm wanting to add something, right? So when I finished my PhD, I wanted to start my own business. And so I had to look at my time and say, okay, how much time do I actually have to dedicate to this? Because a lot of the times we go, well, I need 20 to 30 to 40 hours a week. But if you're a mom and you can find 30 hours a week, kudos to you.
Yeah.
But for me, I know that I have to have 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Otherwise, I am not fun to be around.
Yeah.
Just don't even talk to me, right? So that's where I start, right? How can I make this work so that I'm still functioning at my best? So part of the honest time assessment was, one, I got really clear about my priorities.
Right.
What was important to me, because I can't do it all, nor do I want to do it all.
Right.
So maybe I don't, maybe I'm not part of the PTA. Maybe I'm not part of the board at school. Maybe I'm not the volunteer soccer coach. My kids will be okay if my hands aren't in every part of their lives.
Right.
Yes. So that was me giving myself permission to not be the Pinterest perfect mom. But then, yes, because that was what set me into the first depressive state, right? When my son came to me that night. So I said, all right, I've got, at that time, my baby was about 2 months old when I started my business. And I said, okay, I have a 2 month old, I have a 2 year old, I have a 7 year old and a 9 year old. So how much time can I actually commit to growing my business without getting overwhelmed in home life?
Right.
Right. Because here's the thing, as a mom, we say, oh yeah, I've got all of this time. And then you get stressed when you're behind on the laundry and you haven't figured out what's for dinner. And now you've got to go pick up the kids. Yep. And heaven forbid you sit down to do something on the weekends and the kids need you.
Right. Right. Right.
So one, I got really clear and said, weekends, I cannot work. Mm-hmm. It's not an option between soccer and football and babies and, you know, having the sanity to myself. So
right.
If I am inspired, I might do something content-wise, but I do not schedule calls on the weekends and I do not follow up with my clients on the weekends. I just don't, because I can't guarantee I can do that every weekend. Mm-hmm. So then my business had to fit through Monday through Friday. And I said, okay, Monday through Friday, I have a newborn. What does this time look like? Well, when you have a newborn and a two-year-old, you can't do anything unless they're napping.
Right.
Which legitimately
is unpredictable.
Right. Right. So for me, I knew, okay, if I was going to be a good mom, my kids had to be on a sleep schedule. Mm. This is not for every mom. and that's okay. My kids were sleep trained and they had very regimented nap time schedules because it allowed me to breathe and I showed up as a better mom when they napped.
Yep.
So I had to do it for me. So they had a morning nap and an afternoon nap. It was like 9 to 11 and 1 to 3 when we were part of the school schedule, right? Prior to that, it was very different. But so 9 to 11 and 1 to 3, those were my guaranteed 2 hours. And I could guarantee myself 2 hours because my babies put themselves to sleep. And if they woke up early, they entertained themselves in their beds or their cribs, whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And so I knew I had 2 hours in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. Now, on top of that, I said, okay, what do I have to get done during this time? Well, one, the house had to be clean because I couldn't afford a cleaning lady at that time. I have one now. She's amazing, incredible. Highly recommend that's the first thing you outsource. Yes. So I had to clean the house. Somewhere in there, I had to do grocery shopping. And then I also wanted to make sure that I had some time to myself. I didn't want to book myself out every minute of every day to the point where I got overwhelmed and didn't have time to myself.
Right.
So if I looked at that schedule, I had 2 hours in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 5 days a week gives me 20 hours. But if I took out 2 hours for grocery shopping and another 2 hours for cleaning and then another 2 hours for myself, that left me with 14. So I had 14 hours a week to grow my business. Well, when I first started growing my business, I was making $0. So I couldn't justify spending all 14 hours on growing my business.
Right.
And so I looked at that and I said, okay, well, here's the plan that I want to put into place. I want to be able to have private clients. I want to be able to have group clients, but I also know that when I'm taking these calls, I have to have time to market and bring in new clients.
Sure.
So easy. I usually say, okay, divide that by 2. So let's say you have 20 hours that you can actually commit while doing everything else. Then 10 of that should be solely for clients. And the other 10 should be for sales, marketing, whatever other kind of back-end content creation stuff, right?
Right.
And so when you have that, then you go, okay, cool. I have 10 hours a week now. What do I spend that time with? For me, it's been 5 hours. I still, to this day, I have an hour a day for my marketing, my content creation, Some days it's more when I'm doing podcasts, interviews, or interviews like this. But for the most part, it's 5 hours a week that I dedicate to my content creation and my marketing. Now, on days when I'm totally overwhelmed, I still want to show up and grow my business.
Right.
So how can I do that really, really easily? So to be super easy, one, I would get visible. I would let people know that I was alive, I was around, I was doing something. The other thing was I was connecting with people, whether it was in a Facebook group, whether through Messenger, whether it was a new friend request, whatever it was, I was connecting with at least 3 new people a day, just to have a conversation with. Those 2 things you can do in 5 minutes. If you're really pressed for time, you can lock the bathroom door and you can do that on your phone in 5 minutes. And that's still moving the needle forward on your business.
Yeah. I love that.
The key to that though, is for it to be done, not perfect.
Right. Right.
Because that perfection piece is what takes so much more time. than actually just showing up. Some days, and for me, if I'm really pressed for time, I have all of my previous posts, every content that I share is in an app called Evernote. Some people use Trello, some people use Google Docs, whatever it is. I took notes
for this show in Evernote. It's my lifeblood. Yes.
I love Evernote. So yeah. I have thousands of content pieces of content in there. And let's say I sit down and I only have 5 minutes and I say, oh, I want to talk about joy today. So I'll search joy and all these posts that I've already created with the word joy will come up and I can go, oh, that one's really good. I'm going to plug and use that one because it's okay. Chances are not everybody in my audience already saw that thing.
Right. Or, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, having all these ideas, it just made me think, you know, you can have all these ideas for posts, content, whatever it is, put them somewhere. You don't necessarily have to use all of everything all at once. And Evernote's a really great tool for that, for just the reason you're talking about.
Yeah. And I use all of that. If I'm pressed for time and I really want to make sure that I'm still being visible and I don't want it to be garbage, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to post just for the sake of posting.
Right.
But usually that gets wound up around the perfection kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'll find something and I'll hit post and then I'll hop in a couple of Facebook groups, answer a couple of questions, and I'm done. That's it. You can literally do that in 5 to 10 minutes if you're really pressed for time. And so the idea that overwhelm prevents you from growing your business is a whole bunch of BS.
Yeah.
It's not the overwhelm, it's the perfection that's getting in your way.
I think the boundaries that you're putting up are so important, because you can easily just start going down a rabbit hole and next thing you know, like your kid's tugging at your leg and you've spent a half hour that you didn't expect. So I think those boundaries are great. It's like time blocking, like on another level.
Yeah. So my kids are really great at calling me out.
Yeah.
I hate it usually, but it's good. Right. So one day my oldest daughter came to me and she said, "Mom, why are you on your computer so much?" And I was just checking my email for like the 40th time that day. And I thought, damn it. And so I had to then create, okay, how can I run my business so that when my kids get home from school, I'm nothing but mom.
Yeah. You're present for them.
And so I have all my content created before they get home from school so that if I am posting in the evening, because I do like to post in the evening because I know my audience is scrolling in the evening, copy and post it into Facebook and be done.
Mm-hmm.
I already know what picture I'm using, so I'm not spending a bunch of time doing that. And so that makes it super easy. So 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm not present with my kids for 30 seconds, but you guess what? They're probably watching TV at that point anyways, and they don't care about me.
No. it just makes things so clear because so many people don't go after things because they feel like they have too much on their plate already. And, you know, just getting super honest about, well, where can I fit in this thing that I want to accomplish, and looking at your time in a real way makes so much sense. Very, very cool.
No, if you're struggling to grow your business, but you're Netflix and binging, I'm not sorry for you. Right.
If you've just watched the entire series of Bridgerton but you don't have time, there's something going on.
Right. And it's not that I don't want you to enjoy yourself and watch Netflix, right? Like I do a lot of my Netflix shows while I'm folding laundry.
Yeah. And there's seasons too, right?
Yeah. Like, yep.
Seasons for this or that, or working on this new thing, or adding something. Like I'm writing a book. I won't be writing a book for the rest of my life. I have these next 3 months to do it. So, you know, that changes some of my time a little bit for these next 3 months, but that's not forever.
Right. And the key is to, if you're motivated to work on your business, then show up there. But if you're not feeling motivated, you can still move the needle forward in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You can brush yourself off, brush your hair, take a selfie from whatever angle you want, right? And show up, right? Like there aren't a lot of full moons that take me out, but that one, whew, I was a hot mess on Thursday, crying, sobbing. I thought somebody else's energy had been attached to mine. I was like, this is weird. I don't understand.
Saging.
took my daughter to soccer and I looked up and I thought, you son of a and as soon as I saw the moon, I knew that was what was screwing me up. And it took me a few days to move through that energy. Mm-hmm. But I gave myself permission to do it. I still showed up and I still sobbed and cried and did all the other things too.
I think that's the beauty of building your own business, is it can flex with you. So depending on where your head's at or what is going on in your life, or if you need to have a little bit of grace in a different area, then you can do that.
Right. And that's the key to that honest time assessment, is to build in that flexibility space, right? Because if you're scheduled every minute of every day, that's exhausting.
Yes.
But even if you add 5 to 10 minutes in between a task, that gives you this creative space and this energy to go, oh, I have 5 minutes to just sit in the sun, right? Yeah. Whatever it is, it's freeing
yep.
to have 5 minutes to yourself oh, instead definitely. Of running around like a crazy person.
And it's your choice, you know,
right.
to have yes. that, just that choice. I mean, so many people, when you work for someone else, you don't have choices like that. And, you know, I love running your own business. You get to make whatever choices you want. You could work. I mean, last summer I spent 3 weeks in Montauk with my kids and my business hours completely shifted, but that's what I wanted to do.
I love that.
Yeah. To have the space to do those kind of things. That's, I think, the coolest benefit to running your own business. Not only are you doing something you absolutely love and that brings you such joy, but you kind of get to make it fit with your whole life and
what yes. makes you happy. And that's part of that honest time assessment too, is how many hours a week do you want to work, right? A lot of us immediately go into it and go, oh, well, so-and-so works 40 hours. So in order for me to make six figures, I've got to work 60 right. hours.
All those and, shoulds.
Right. Yes. And I remember sitting there going, I cannot work 40, 50, 60 hours a week and still show up for myself and my family. That is not an issue. That's never going to happen.
Right.
And so for a little while, when I first started my business, I really thought that I was going to have to wait for success.
Right.
I was going to have to wait until my kids were all school age in order to hit six figures. And then my coach said, maybe you should turn that time stuff into your superpower. And I thought, well, yes. And so I sat there and said, how much time do I want to work? How much money do I want to make? When you sit down and you get honest with how much money you're making with the effort that you're putting in, you're going to go, oh shit, I don't want to work that much. Right. I did this with, I have single private sessions that I do. And I did a single 60 minute session with a client. We usually dive into business during that call. And she was working in MLM. And we all know MLMs, you've got to do a little bit more effort in the beginning to get your momentum going, right?
Yeah.
And so I said, well, how many hours a week are you working? And she said, oh, I work 12 to 14 hours a day.
A day?
I said, yeah. And I said, what? He said, well, I've got to respond to my team and I've got to be present and da, 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 da. And I said, how much are you making?
Yeah.
And she was making less than $1,000 a month.
Wow.
And so I did the math for her. And
yeah.
I said, sweetheart, you're making less than $1 an hour.
That's insane.
You cannot do that.
And no, said, people don't think about it like that.
Right. I said, you cannot do that for a lot of reasons. One, it's devaluing your worth. Two, your team is really dependent on you. And three, you don't have time for anything else. So right. if you're making less than $1,000 a month working 14 hours a day, you don't have the space to make a 10K month because in your mind, you're going, I can't work that many hours. And so I said, listen, it's going to be incredibly unproductive for you, but you're only allowed to work 2 hours a day. That's it. I said, for the income that you're bringing in, 2 hours. You can do one in the morning, one in the afternoon. You could do them at the same time. I don't care, but you only get 2 hours because you have to value your time.
Yeah.
You have to create space for more money to come in because right now there's no room. You're squeezing the hose so tight that you're getting just drops, right? You've got to release that hose a little bit. And so she messaged me the next day and she said, oh my God, I felt so unproductive today, but I worked an hour in the morning and one in the evening. She said, and I watched Hamlet with my daughter and we cooked in the kitchen and it was so much fun. She messaged me the day after. She received 3 sales overnight simply because she created the space for them to come in.
Yeah.
She allowed for it to come in. And that's one thing that honest time assessment does is it creates the space for you to start to receive.
Right.
Because if we're constantly giving, there's no room to receive.
I was just listening to an audio, something on Audible. It was like an Audible original this morning. And it was meditation for productivity. And he was talking about sitting there and staring at your computer screen for 8 hours or giving yourself a small amount of time and how much your productivity increases, and you're not just being reactive or answering emails. Like, you're really very specific about what you need to accomplish and you just get it done. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about, because it seems like you just did that for that girl with that call.
Yeah. But
I mean, where do you see the value in slowing down, being super deliberate, and being more productive.
Your return on investment is insane when you start to become intentional with your time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be astronomical even overnight. And so for me, part of it, and this was something that I have loved to see all of the corporate America change by having to work online, right?
Yeah.
And I had a client last fall who was a mom of a toddler and was expecting her second. And she said, well, I'm working from home now. She said, but I can't sit in front of the computer for 8 hours. And so we sat back and I said, listen, I said, when you're at work for whatever, 8-9 hours a day, I said, how often do you stop to check your phone? Do you stop to have a conversation with a coworker? Do you get up to go to the bathroom? Do you go get a snack? Do you, you know, go outside for a cigarette break if that's what you do, right? We give ourselves all of those breaks because we go, well, I have 8 hours to do this thing.
Right. I've got to fill that time anyway.
Right. Same sort of thing, right? If you on Saturday, you're like, I've got to clean the house, but I don't have anything to do until 4 o'clock. Right. You get up at 8 a.m. You're like, I got to clean the house today. Don't have to be anywhere till 4. It's going to take you all damn day to clean the house.
Right.
Right. Because you don't have to be anywhere.
Right.
But if you say, you know what? No, I don't have to be anywhere till 4, but I don't want to take it all day to clean the house. And you go, you know what? I just want to be done cleaning the house by 10. Your house is going to be clean by 10.
Yeah.
Because you've given yourself those parameters. Same thing with your business. You don't want to sit in front of the computer all day. You don't.
Right.
None of us want to, right?
Definitely
like
not.
We'd rather sit and watch our TV shows. We'd rather have lunch with girlfriends. If it's nice, we'd like to be outside, right? None of us want to sit there. But if we have this urge in the back of our head saying we're not working, then condense it and say, okay, I'm going to give myself an hour uninterrupted where I'm going to get my work done.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredible how much stuff you can get done when you're not Facebook scrolling or constantly checking your email.
Yeah. No, that makes so much sense.
Because you don't want to be there anyways.
No.
Right? Your body wants to naturally get up and move. You've got ants in your pants, right? Like,
yep.
We know this from our kids that they can't sit still. I mean, this online learning for children, please.
Yeah.
Like, not a thing. Okay. Unless they're sitting on these little medicine balls, right? Like, it's not going to work for them.
Nope.
And that's just knowing the nature of the beast, but you don't want to sit there for 8 hours either.
No, no.
It's so why are you making yourself do it?
Mm-hmm. No, it's such a true statement.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not sit there for an hour, right? I can sit here for an hour and plug and get a whole bunch of stuff done and lose track of time. When I'm in that flow, that's a great place for me to be because the ideas are coming. It's coming out naturally. I'm feeling really good about it. But after that, I'm like, I kind of need a break.
Yeah.
I need to go to the bathroom. I need to go do this, right? Like, a task will take as much time as you give it.
Yes, it's so true. Especially the cleaning the house example is so good because I'll do that on a Saturday. I'll be like, okay, so we're going out at 2 and I'm going to start cleaning the house at 10 and it will take until 2:05 because
On the flip side, if you're at home and your girlfriend says, hey, I'm coming over, I'll be there in 20 minutes. You're going to pick up the house in 20 minutes.
Right. It's done in 20 minutes. Yep.
Right. It may not be spotless. It might not be the deep clean that you want, but your house is going to be clean in 20 minutes.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because it's the only thing that you're doing.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And that's the key. And I remember I used to talk about this a lot, the fact that you cannot multitask.
No.
And I have people get on me for it. I'm like, no, listen. Okay. Yes. The idea of multitasking can be done, but it takes you so much longer to accomplish all of those things than it does if you just did one at a time.
Right.
Because you're forcing your brain to have to switch back and forth between those things, right? I had one client who, she needed to organize her home office. And she was really dragging her feet about it. She didn't want to do it. She knew it needed to be done, but she was like, I don't want to do it. And so I said, okay, I want you to spend 20 minutes, just 20 minutes. That's it. 20 minutes organizing your office. And she said, well, that's not going to do anything. And I said, nope, just do 20 minutes. So our next call, and she said, well, I tried to do it, but you know, I was drinking my coffee and I was, you know, trying to file stuff. And I said, you were drinking your coffee while you were filing stuff. And she said, well, yeah, what's wrong with that? And I said, what would you like to be doing when you're drinking your coffee? And she said, well, I'd really like to just be sitting there and, you know, reading the newspaper or, you know, Facebook. Don't try to file and organize while you're enjoying your cup of coffee.
Right.
And she said, well, why? I said, because you're making your brain go from relaxing to the coffee to now having to be on because you're filing, that it's taking a whole bunch of energy for you to switch back and forth between the two. I said, just sit and enjoy your coffee for 30 minutes.
Right. And then focus enjoy on the coffee. The filing.
Right. And then go spend 20 minutes on the filing and then that's it. And she came back to me on the next call. She said, oh my God, you will never believe how much I got done in 20 minutes. I was so motivated. My office is complete now. Ugh. She said, it only took me an hour. My whole office is entirely organized. Mm-hmm. And I said, because you weren't multitasking. You weren't giving your brain all these different signals between relaxing and working. You were focused on one thing at a time.
It's so funny too, how much time she probably spent on thinking about doing that task, how overwhelming it was, how long it probably lingered because she's, you know, we do that in our businesses. We do that in tasks in our life. And your real honest approach about, okay, it's going to take me 20 minutes if I completely focus on that, just is such a game changer.
Yeah. And this is, and it makes me create, my husband's very creative. He is incredibly handy. He is a great woodworker, all these things, right? And so I'll ask him for a project and I'll say, hey, babe, I want like a desk or what, a new table or whatever it is. And I said, how long will it take you? And without fail, he underestimates his time.
Always.
Always. And he goes, well, you know, it's only going to take me about a week to do that project. And I'm like, oh, well, that's not too bad at all. But what he doesn't factor in is the multiple trips to the hardware store because he forgot something, right? The interruptions from the kids, the lack of motivation because it's beautiful and he doesn't want to be in the shed. He'd rather be on the golf course, right? And so that honest time assessment, when I do that, I know my little quirks. Yeah. I know that if it's sunny, I'm really not going to want to sit inside and do work. So how can I make it go by faster? But he's like, eh, well, I have all the time in the world. And so when you have all the time in the world, right? When you come at it with that mentality, it takes all the time in the world.
Right.
Yes. But if you come at it and say, I only have 15 minutes, you're going to get what you can get done in 15 minutes.
I work with a lot of new designers and especially a lot of freelance designers. And that's one of the first thing I tell them is estimate your time and then double it. Because you're not realizing all the time you need to research the project, to research the client, to do all these extra things, to actually schedule out the project and, you know, all those maintenance things.
Right.
So underestimating your time is big.
And it's not being a pessimist, right? No, like some people will say, well, that's pretty negative that you think it's going to take that long. And I'm like, no. No, like that's like saying I don't have an umbrella in my car because I don't want to think it's going to rain. No, I have an umbrella in my car because there's a chance it could rain.
Right. And you want to be prepared.
Right. And so I'm going to say, okay, hey, I feel like it could take me an hour to do this, but let me spend an hour on it and then get really clear about how long it's actually going to take me, because you may make incredible headway in that hour, or you could realize you don't really love doing that thing. And it's going to take you 17 hours because you don't love doing that thing.
Right.
You know, this was me when I designed my first website. I was convinced that I needed a website to be legitimate. Right,
right.
I had never designed a website in my life. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to check out this course, because it was like $99 to create your own website, walked you through it, right?
Right.
I hated it. I said, I need a website. And so I limited myself to 20 minutes a week to work on that damn website. And when it was done, I was so relieved, but I never sent anybody to it because I was so ashamed of how terrible it looked.
Well, that's another good point. I mean, you know, being able to do the things that you really love and enjoy doing, and the things that you, I mean, provided you can afford it or you can put the money aside, outsource what needs to be done that you don't want to do.
Yeah. And that was my thing. When I first started, I couldn't afford to pay a website designer.
Right.
So I said, okay, well, I hate doing these things, but they need to get done. So I'm going to limit the time that I spend on them. And that's the thing, right? People are like, well, I hate doing it. And then it just becomes this big monster.
Right.
And that's why if you check out the Opulent Life podcast episode number 37, Love, Like, Hate, Delegate.
Yes.
I walk you through this really great exercise so that you can spend time doing the stuff that you love more. And that's just giving yourself permission to not have to spend all the time on the stuff you hate.
Yeah. I have team members on my team that do all the things that I just don't want to do anymore. And they're really good at it and they love it.
Yes. That's the thing, right? Like, I don't love cleaning my house. My cleaning lady loves cleaning my house. Why would I not bless her?
Right. And it makes you so happy and your family and gives you all the time back.
Right. That's another part of, another assessment that I do with my clients is how much is something costing you to do?
Yeah.
That's and true. Because there's this mentality that if I can learn how to do it, I should do it myself. Absolutely not. No way. I would spend so much time trying to learn how to do the thing that it's cheaper for me to pay somebody else to do the thing.
Absolutely.
And so this was a conversation. I loved having this light bulb moment with my husband because I'm not bashing on my husband at all. We just think very differently. He said, well, there's this side job that I want to pick up this weekend. And I said, oh, okay, cool. How much is it paying you? And he said, well, $25 an hour. And I said, okay, how long is it going to take? And so he told me, and I said, yeah, but we need the French drain dug in our yard. And you don't want to pay somebody $3,000 to do that. So in the time that you're spending on this side job, so let's say 8 hours, right? $200.
Right.
He saw the $200, but didn't factor in what he was giving up in order for that couple hundred dollars, right? So I said, well, it doesn't make any sense for you to do this side job to make $800 when we have to turn around and pay $3,000 for this other job that you say you can get done this weekend.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, yeah, you're right. That is not a good trade-off at all. And so when you do the honest time assessment, you realize how much money you're making, then you can say, all right, it's worth it for me to pay $20 an hour to my cleaning lady because that gives me 3 extra hours a week. And maybe I'm charging $250 that hour. Shoot, that's $750 versus the $120 that I'm paying her to clean.
Right.
Easy math.
Totally. Ugh, easy I math. Love this. Yeah. So many people I bring on the show, everyone has a different method for how they are able to live this amazing life that we all want to find our own path to. And I love how real your method is. It's just,
thank you.
Let's look at the facts. Let's get over the fear. There is no fear when you have everything very clear. So yes. I think it's so brilliant.
Yeah. And that's part of that honesty, right? I know you cringed a little bit at the thought of doing that exercise, but when you sit down and you get honest with yourself, right? Because, and this is a little catchphrase that I use regularly, is overwhelmed is caused from your, it's a really great phrase and I've totally lost it. Overwhelmed is caused from your unrealistic expectations of your resources.
Mm.
So when you're not being realistic about your time, your money, and your energy, right? Those are the three resources I refer to regularly. When you're not being realistic about those three things, that's when overwhelm comes in.
Right.
Well, when you can get honest
yeah.
about okay, I only have this amount of time. I only have this amount of money. And shoot, if I'm not filling up my own cup, I only have X amount of energy.
Right.
When you're honest about those resources, then you can show up fully and overwhelm doesn't come in.
Right. And you can justify the no if that's what it has to be.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think no is a total full statement, but I know some people do like to justify it. I'm like, I'm not available.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think some people need the permission to make the choices in their life. And I think, you know, eventually they get more comfortable with doing that without having to justify it.
Right.
But especially in the beginning, like those people pleasers and the ones who've lived their lives for other people, like this is a good way to start to give yourself that permission.
And I love that you said your choice in there, right? Like you're making the choice for you, not for somebody else. It's not somebody else's expectations.
Right.
And when you start to live your life for yourself, then you can say, hey, shoot, I don't actually want to be a volunteer soccer coach.
Right.
Like that's not my cup of tea. Yep. I'm cool to be that parent that sits on the sideline and yells at the children, right? Yep.
Totally. Totally. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm going to have all your links in the show notes so people can find you. I'm going to send them to your website, your Instagram, and they can definitely check out your podcast too.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It was so fun. So fun.
Well, we'll stay in touch. Come back next Sunday for another episode and have a great week.